The 15th chapter of Corinthians is indeed an exciting chapter as Paul deals with the subject of the resurrection of the dead. And I know that you've enjoyed it as you've read it through. And tonight we'll be studying the 15th chapter and hopefully answering maybe some of the questions that have come into your mind as you've read about the resurrection. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 35th verse here in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul declares, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" The Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to return to the earth with 10,000s of his saints to establish God's kingdom upon the earth. Paul is asking the question, when they come, what body will they have? What kind of a body? What will our new bodies be like? Basically, this is the issue that Paul brings up. He said, people are wondering about what our new bodies are like. How will we be raised? With what body will we come? Now, there were a group in Jesus' day who did not believe in resurrection. They were called the Sadducees. They were religious people, but they were purely materialist, humanist. They did not believe in spirits. They did not believe in the resurrection, nor did they believe in angels. They thought that the material universe that you could see and handle was the only thing that there was. That there was no spiritual realm, no spiritual world, no angels, and of course no resurrection. One day as Jesus was talking to them, he pointed out that their scriptures said concerning God, or God declared in their scriptures, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob." And then Jesus observed, "He's not the God of the dead, but of the living." That is, Jesus affirmed that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still living. We realize that when Jesus was there on the mount and transfigured before his disciples and his body was changed, that there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him about the death in Jerusalem in a short while. Moses and Elijah have both been dead for hundreds of years, but now they appear with Jesus still alive there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so the Bible over and over again affirms the fact that the dead will rise again. There are those today, though, that do not believe in the resurrection. They do not believe that man is a spirit. They only see the physical aspects of existence, and they deny the spiritual nature and aspects of life and of man. But the Bible basically teaches that the real me is not this body. The real me is spirit. That this body is just a tent in which I am dwelling for a short period of time. And that one day I will move out of this tent into a real building, a building of God that is not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. The Bible teaches that this body was designed by God as an instrument and purposed by God to be an instrument through which I could express myself. It is the medium by which I can relate to you what I am and what I feel and what I think. And you in turn relate to me what you are, what you feel, what you think. And as we relate to each other through the medium of these bodies, we come to know each other. I come to know how you feel. I come to appreciate who you are. I come to admire who you are, respect you, and I come to love you. And that was God's purpose, that we come into many meaningful, loving relationships through the medium of the body by which we can express who we are to each other. But man basically is a spirit. He dwells in the body, which is the medium by which man's spirit is capable of expressing itself to others. But the body in which I live is subject to catabolic forces, which cause it to age and to gradually break down. And over a period of time, the body so deteriorates that it is no longer an adequate medium to express me. When we get older, we can't always do the things that we would like to do. If my grandkids are putting a new roof on their house, I might say, "Oh, Gramps would like to come over and help you. I'll put that roof on for you." But you see, it's getting harder for me to climb a ladder. Getting harder for me to kneel down on that surface of the roof and pound the nails. So I can't always do the things I want to do and would like to do, because the body begins to restrict my capabilities. And as time goes by, I will become even more restricted in what I can do. Now, I can still put on a roof, but I will become more restricted in what I can do. There'll be a day when I can't. And so we see the body gradually wearing out. And as we get older, we begin to experience pain in our body. And we're just not as strong and healthy as we once were. So the body gradually deteriorates. Now, if the Lord should tarry, and God forbid, there will come a day when perhaps all I'll be able to do is just lie in bed and take liquids and just lie there and incapable of moving. And maybe my body will be racked with pain as I just lie there. Now, surely God in his love for me won't allow me to just lie there forever. But he will release my spirit from this body. And at that point, my spirit will move into a new body. Paul will describe that to us in the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. We'll be getting there in a month or two. And we will discover how that death to the child of God is a transition, a metamorphosis, a change of body, where we move out of the tent and into the house, the building of God not made with hands, that's eternal in the heavens. So death is really God releasing my spirit from the body which no longer can adequately perform the purposes for which God designed the body. No longer is a true, adequate medium of the expression of me. I can no longer relate. Maybe the day will come when I can no longer talk, just look and just gurgle and can't really relate. And so God won't leave me in that state. He will release my spirit from this body that I might move into the new body, the building of God, not made with hands. Now, when a person gets to that place where they finally close their eyes in death. To some people, they believe that that is the end. That is all she wrote. To them, death is a finality. They believe that you live like a hog and you'll die like a dog. When you die, it's over. Now, there are others who believe that, as the Bible teaches, the Spirit moves from the tent into the building of God not made with hands. A new body that is not subject to aging, not subject to pain, not subject to weakness, a body that will be a perfect medium of expression that will not grow old, is not subject to catabolic forces, as the Bible describes it, the building of God eternal in the heavens. That I might in this new body dwell with God in the kingdom of God forever. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, there were similarities and dissimilarities to the body that he had while he was with his disciples upon the earth. He could still eat. In fact, he invited them to give him some food to prove that he wasn't just pure spirit. He was still able to communicate with them. And as a special case, I believe that he still had the marks of crucifixion on his new body. Yet, the new body was in a totally different dimension. It wasn't restricted, as these bodies are, by the material obstacles. His disciples could be in a room, the doors all shut, the windows shut and locked, and yet he could suddenly appear in the middle of the room with them. His new body was not subject to gravity. And one day, as they were standing with him on the Mount of Olives, he ascended on up into heaven. As they watched him ascend into the clouds, the body was not subject to gravity as our bodies are. So it was a new body that had similarities and yet dissimilarities to the present body. Our new bodies will perhaps bear similarities, but there will be definite dissimilarities from our present body. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again one of these days to the earth with his saints to reign over the earth. The question is, as we come to this earth with Jesus to reign, what kind of bodies will we have? Am I to have this present body through all eternity? If so, I would have been much better off to have died when I was in my 20s. And surely the sooner the better now. Really, I would have been better off, I suppose, to have died before my senior year in college when I injured my knee in football, because I was much more agile and able to run faster and all before that injury. No, we realize that the body that we're going to have will not be the same body that I presently am living in. If we are to have new bodies, will we know and recognize each other? Well, they knew and recognized Moses and Elijah. But these are the questions that Paul is seeking to answer now in the remainder of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians concerning the resurrection of the dead, how we are raised, and with what body will we come again. First of all, make no mistake about it, the Bible does plainly teach the resurrection from the dead. In the oldest book of the Bible, as far as when written, was the book of Job. The writing of the book of Job predates the writing of the book of Genesis. And in this book of Job, we find Job declaring, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And so in the earliest book of the Bible, that firm belief in the resurrection was expressed by Job. Daniel wrote, "And many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Isaiah wrote, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The words of Jesus: resurrection of life, resurrection to damnation. Now, how are the dead raised? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, "But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he's going to make alive your mortal body by his Spirit that is dwelling in you." So how are the dead raised? They will be raised by the power of God's Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Writing in the earlier part of this letter to the Corinthians, Paul said, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power." God is going to raise me by his power. That same power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me, the power of God in resurrection. But then the issue, with what body will they come? Now, Paul here uses the analogy of planting a seed into the ground. And he tells us that it, first of all, dies. We call it germinates. And then he tells us that when we plant the seed, we don't really plant the body that's going to be. All we plant is a bare grain. So he likens this body as a bare grain that is planted. But when the bare grain is planted, there comes forth a new body. We don't plant the new body that's going to be. All we plant is the bare grain. So my body will be planted, the bare grain. But God will give to me a new body as pleases him. For Paul affirms, so is the resurrection from the dead. God has a new body for me, a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul tells us that this body will be planted in corruption, but I will be raised in incorruption. This body is subject to the catabolic forces, to the breaking down of the cells, the mutation of the cells, and the aging process. And I'm in the process of, of, you know, passing out, through, going. It's just a part of the whole process. It's corruptible. But I have a new body that's going to be incorruptible. We are planted in corruption. We are raised in incorruption. We are sown in dishonor, but we are raised in glory. We are sown in weakness, but we will be raised in power. We sow the natural body, will be raised in a spiritual body. So the new body will be vastly different and vastly superior, from the corruption to the incorruption, from the dishonor to glory, from the weakness to power, from the natural body to the spiritual body. Now, Paul teaches that this present body that I have received, I received from Adam. My natural body comes from the first Adam. I am a descendant of Adam. And thus, I have the inherent gene deformities that have passed on from Adam through the years. And the bodies that we have are not really as great as was Adam's body. He lived to be 900 and some years old. And so since Adam, there's been a lot of breakdown of the cells, and the aging process comes much sooner than it did in Adam's time. But this first body is a natural body that comes from Adam. The Bible teaches that I'm going to have a new body, which is from the second Adam, or Jesus. My new body will come from him, will be like his. Now, John writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when he appears, we're going to be like him," the new body, "like his, for we shall see him as he is. We've borne the image of the earth and have been earthy." When God made this body in which I presently live, he made it out of the earth. God formed man out of the dust of the earth, the scripture says. And then God breathed into man, and man became a living spirit. So this body was made out of the dust of the earth, but it was also made for the environment of the earth. Of the earth, earthy. God took the same 17 elements that make up the dirt outside, and he formed the body of man. Breathed the life into him, and he became the living spirit. But when the spirit leaves, then all you have is just earth again, and the body gradually goes back to earth. As God said, "Out of the dust you have come, and to the dust you shall return." Like some little kid looking under the bed cried, "Mommy, mommy, someone's either coming or going." Of the earth, earthy, made out of the dust. And we will return to the dust. That is the body. But as Longfellow said, "Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers. Things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest. And the grave is not thy goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of your soul." So true. Only of the body. The spirit goes to be with God who made it. God gives to me a new body fashioned like unto Jesus Christ, the second Adam. This body was made out of the earth, but it was also made for the earth. When God designed this body, he designed it to exist on the planet Earth. He designed my body to withstand the 14 pounds of pressure per square inch. Now, if I should take my body from this environment of the earth, take it out of the atmosphere, say take it into the stratosphere, what would happen to me if I took my body on up into the stratosphere? Well, my eyes would pop out. Because you see, they've been designed to push against 14 pounds of pressure per square inch. If that pressure isn't there, then they're still pushing and they'd just push right on out and they'd hang out here in my cheeks. My body fluids would come right through the skin because it's been designed to push against this 14 pounds of pressure per square inch. So if I go even into the stratosphere, I would have to take a pressure suit that would maintain that pressure against my body, else the fluids would come out, my eyes would pop out, and the body would continue to push. So God made the body for the earth. He designed it so that it would take the oxygen out of the 79 parts of nitrogen and 20 parts of oxygen that make up our atmosphere. The other 1% are other small inert gases, but God designed the body to take this oxygen out of the atmosphere. And thus, if I take my body even into the stratosphere where we don't have the oxygen, I'd have to take oxygen and nitrogen tanks to keep the balance because my body was designed for the environment of the earth. Now, I don't know what the environment of heaven is, but probably vastly superior to the environment of the earth. God wants to bring me to be with Him in His kingdom. And rather than just take this body and outfit it with a space suit and clumsy heavy boots and so forth, He just would rather give me a new body that's designed for that environment. And so as we have borne the image of the earth and we have been earthy, so also the image of the heavens and will be heavenly. And so God has a new body, Paul teaches us here, that's going to be adapted. I call it the universal body, adapted for the environment of the universe, wherever I might be with my Lord. Our new body is not flesh and blood. For Paul plainly tells us here in this chapter that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He tells us that this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. If I am to enter in to the kingdom of God, this corruption must put on incorruption. I have to be changed. There has to be a metamorphosis, a change of body that will be designed for the totally new environment of God's eternal heavenly kingdom. Does God teach us in nature that such a thing is possible? You ever watch the furry caterpillars as they walk through the fields? They get to the black asphalt highway, and as they start to cross the road with those many feet, I can imagine a little caterpillar saying, "Ooh, hot." Hot, dirty feet. If I could only fly. And it might climb up a tree out on a twig and jump, wiggle itself as fast as it can, but it's going to fall to the ground because it isn't aerodynamically designed to fly. One day it crawls up the side of your house, spins a little silky button, exudes a little glue, sticks itself to that silky button, and sheds the furry coat. The moist pupa immediately dries into a chrysalis, and it just hangs there for a few days under your windowsill. But after a couple of weeks or so, as you watch that chrysalis, you see it begin to jerk, sort of convulsive kind of jerks. Soon the chrysalis breaks open. Two wings unfurl. And in about 60 seconds, as they're filled with oxygen, they turn into a beautiful gold and black color with a little blue smeared down towards the tail, end of the tail, actually, right? The body and tail come together. It perches there for a moment on the chrysalis, and then it begins to fly across the yard, over the fence, over the fields. What's happened? Metamorphosis, a change of body that has now brought it into a new body that's designed for a whole new environment. Many times as I look at what's happening in the world in which we live, I say, oh God, I'm tired of hot, dirty feet. I want to fly. And thank God one of these days, I'm going to soar. The new body, the building of God, not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. And that is the hope that we have as believers. Death is not the end. There is a day of resurrection coming. That day when this corruption puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality. And as Paul said, then shall be brought to pass the saying, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? For the sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, we've had the cleansing of our sin. And through Jesus Christ, we have the living hope of eternal life with him in the kingdom of God, in a body that's fashioned like unto his own glorious image. So we pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious hope that we have in Christ. And Paul declares that this is the good news. This is the gospel that he preaches. The gospel of the resurrection. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, but he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And so we thank you, Lord, that because you live, we too shall live. And we have this wonderful hope of eternal life with you. Father, I pray for those today that are here who do not share this wonderful hope. The future just is one big question mark they don't know. Help them, Father, to come to know your love, your grace, and the provisions that you have made for those who will surrender their lives to follow and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? It's not a question of will you rise from the dead, but the question is, in what state will you rise from the dead? Jesus spoke of the general resurrection of all, but some to eternal life, and others to everlasting shame and contempt. And that all has to do with your relationship with Jesus. And so I'd encourage you to develop a relationship with him. Come to know him. To know him is to love him. And to serve him. You can start today with a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd encourage you to go back to the prayer room and just say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to follow after you. I want to have a new life, the life of your spirit, living, Lord, like you want me to live, doing the things, Lord, you want me to do, becoming, Lord, your servant. It pays dividends, eternal dividends, and I encourage you to do it.